Tonight, I want to go back to where we were this morning. We were talking about God's will, or God's goodness. And if God is good, then we saw this morning in James chapter 1 that every good gift and perfect gift comes from Him. It's hard to prove God is good, isn't it? Prove it. Prove it to my satisfaction. We're going to be hard-pressed, aren't we? It's like I tell people, we go to Alaska a lot, and we spent out of the last 18 years, we figured it out, it's well over 3 years up there, if you add all the time together. And as we're up there, people ask us the question, what is Alaska like? I can't describe it adequately. You need to go yourself. So then people ask me, well, when should we go? I look at them and tell them, when you can. There's never a bad time to go. There's beauty all summer, all winter, all fall, all spring. It's just different every season. And it's just a neat place to go. Go backpacking, things like that. I can't describe it. How can I describe God's will? God's goodness. It's hard for me to understand and share it with people other than I know God is good. That doesn't mean good is going to happen all the time for you. Doesn't mean good is going to happen all the time for me. But it doesn't change the character of our God. He is good. In a world filled with bad, you see a lot of things happening. We must understand there's a great conflict going on. There's a battle. There's a battle for your heart. There's a battle for your affections. There's a battle for your testimony of Jesus Christ. There is a battle going on. Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Do we believe that or not? There is a battle. But we, if we know the Lord, are on the good side. He is good. He is good. And every good gift, anything good in your and my life comes from Him. Tonight, I want to talk about one last thing in this study just this day. And it's something that I think is important for all of us. Faithfulness leads God to make promises. The goodness of God leads Him to keep them. But if you would take your Bible and turn to the book of Colossians, Janine one day, my wife asked me, she said, if you had one message to preach, just one message that you could give to believers, what would you say? And I think of one of the most impacting things in my life and most things that I understand the most or the clearest to me would be from Colossians chapter 1, where Paul is describing or praying about the church at Colossae. He's praying for these individuals. Look with me, if you would, at verse 9. It says, for this cause we also, Colossians chapter 1, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Here's the result of that. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In his prayer, he starts out by saying this, I desire that you would know God's will. You would know God's will. I remember one time I was speaking at a camp, a senior high camp somewhere, and I was preaching on the subject of faith. And I saw all those young people at the camp, and I came away one night, and the Lord, I just agonizing before the Lord. These kids aren't interested. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. There's something implied in that verse that is not stated directly. It's implied that you and I, out of a relationship with God, would have a desire to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But if you don't care whether you please Him or not, you don't care about faith. And there are many young people at this camp that I was at that time just had no desire to please God. It told me they missed something very basic in their relationship with God. They were missing something of this intimacy, this closeness of relationship that He intends for us to have that would produce in us a desire to please God. If you don't have that desire, then you're missing something. But I go even further with that. As Paul's describing it in Colossians chapter 1, his desire is that you might know and the will of God, that you might walk worthy. How many people are interested and concerned about the will of God for their life? For every day of their life, for every decision they would make, for every attitude that they would have, for every direction of thought that they would go. What is God's will concerning my walk every moment of every day? Now, if you have a concern about that, you're going to be interested in what God wants. You're going to be interested about and just this prayer, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The depth of understanding. The things that God would have you to know and do. He has it all right there. It's incredible in this passage. I like it. Paul's desire for them is that they would know in wisdom the general of the range of mental faculties, God's will. This is, I know what He wants. But not only that, that they would know it with spiritual understanding, special, specific things, detailed knowing of God's will. You know what? There is nothing better than walking through life knowing that I am right in the center of God's will right now at this moment, doing what God wants me to do. Talk about peace with God. Talk about just knowing and experiencing God the way He would intend. I'm concerned about what He wants, what He says, what He likes. Why? I want to be in the center of His will. I read a book. I had the privilege of meeting Phil Vischer many years ago. Phil Vischer is the one, if you remember, that started VeggieTales. VeggieTales, like it or not, there was a generation that grew up on them. It seemed like, anyway. I was never one that watched VeggieTales. I don't know much about it. I just had trouble thinking of biblical characters as vegetables. But to say whether it's good or bad, I don't know. I'm not going to say that. But I got to meet him. And he built a great company. And he came to these things of, and I hear it in testimony and different things of how to run a business and how to do things in life. What are your 5-year goals? What are your 10-year goals? And he was constantly, as he was growing this company, asked the question, what are your 5-year goals? What are your 10-year goals? And he said, I want to do this and I want to do that. We want to open up this and we want to do all these things. He ended up coming to a point where he ended up losing the whole company and went through bankruptcy. He has a book out called Me, Myself, and Bob. And if you want to get that book, it's very valuable for the last 2 chapters. If you want to see how a business can go and thrive and the things that happen, he describes that all through the book. But the last 2 chapters, he came to the conclusion of this. He spent 1 year searching, asking God, where did I mess? What happened? Asking all the questions. But he came to the conclusion of this. I just need to walk with my God and let Him work in me and through me as He sees fit. He said that when I was talking with him, I've always been one that's always said, you know, if you have these unreasonable expectations in your life, not from God, but imposed upon your life from something else or somebody else, then you'll always live a life of guilt. There's no freedom there. There's no joy there. There's no desire to continue on there. There's just simply, I've got to measure up, and I never do. Shame on you. That's not the way God intended, really. But I can just add more guilt to that. What's the matter with you? Like my dad always said, there's nothing slowing you down but your speed. Get after it. He used to tell me when I played baseball, if you wouldn't run so long in one place, you'd get to first base faster. He had lots of those great sayings. But you think about it for a minute. We have all these expectations of what we should be. We have all these things. And you may even have in your own heart desires of what you want to be and what you want to do for God. And what you, I remember at camp, one of the camps I was at, I had good young people there, senior high camp. They were great kids. And one after another would tell me, I just need to be doing more for God, be doing more for God. And it got to be so much of a theme, I just simply said, young people, I have to say this about you. I appreciate your attitude that you want to do for God, but let me take you one step further. Walk with your God, and God will lead you to do what He wants you to do. Your focus cannot be doing for God. Your focus must be on walking with your God, and God will build into you everything He wants. Surrendered to His will, committed to His will. Phil Vischer came to the point where he finally said, what's your five-year goal? My five-year goal is to be in the center of God's will, whatever that looks like. What's your 10-year goal? To be in the center of God's will, whatever that looks like. That's our life. That's got to be it. If you know and believe this of God, that His will is what He says it is, you'll be committed to it. Paul says, I desire that you know His will, that you walk in His will, that you experience it, and if you do, you will walk worthy. You will experience what God has for you. You will be where God wants you. You'll be doing what God wants you to do. Why? Because you're committed to Him and His will, whatever He wants. That's absolute surrender. But let me share with you something that I think is real important. It goes along with this subject, and if you take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 12, and you're going to say, I know where he's going. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. In Romans chapter 12, he's already spent, and this is something God does over and over again in these different books, he's talked about salvation, he's talked about security and stability in a relationship with God. Now, we have to remember that. What did we bring to God? A sinner condemned unclean, right? What did He do for us? He saved me. He forgave me my sins. I have the forgiveness of sins. He remembers them no more. I love that. I don't know about you, but I need that. Don't you? Praise the Lord, I have that in Christ. He's brought that to me. Now He's given me all these things. He's made my life secure and stable in Him. I'll never be separated from His love. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I have all these rights and privileges because I am His. I'm a Christian. I have a new life. I'm a new creature. All these things are mine in Christ. I have these things. I'll never lose them. It's because He gave them to us at the moment of our salvation. I praise the Lord, I have that. He does this over and over again in Scripture. He does it in Colossians chapter 1 and 2. Here's your salvation. Here's what it's all about. Here's your security and stability. Here's Colossians chapter 2. Here's five detriments to your security and stability. And then he goes into chapter 3 and he says, now I've got you. You're secure and stable in your relationship with me, but now I want your heart. I want your heart's affection. Seek those things above. Set your affections above. He does it here in Romans 1 through 11. He's talked about the security. I have been given grace by our God. I have it. It's mine. I have eternal life. So shall I ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. But now he wants my heart, my affections. He wants that outworking of this relationship in me. You see, if I understand security and stability in him, if I understand his great love for me, if I understand he's good, when he comes to chapter 12 and he starts in verse 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, because of this security and stability, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Just give me your all. Give it all. It's not an unreasonable request. It's reasonable. He even says that. It's your reasonable service. But he comes to something in the second verse that I think is important for us to look at. Romans chapter 12, it says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Pastor and I were talking about it over the dinner hour, and I appreciate Scripture so much that we have, but we have a difficulty in the English language. These are both words that are in the passive voice, passive mood here. It's because it's a result of another action. I don't know how many times I've heard it preached, probably even preached it myself that way, that you need to be doing this. This is not active for us. This is not in the active. It's passive. It's a result of another action somewhere else. What is the active verb in this passage? The active verb in this passage is that you may prove. Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove it by living it, by doing it. You prove it by living it. Presenting your body a living sacrifice, and if you do, and if you are proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, I can guarantee you he will not lead you, he will not direct you to be conformed to this world. It won't happen. Why? Because I'm not concerned about the world. I'm concerned about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm concerned about what he wants in my life, how he wants to build me, how he wants to mold me and change me. That's the focus of my life. And he transforms me. My wife will tell you, we've been married, it's going on 42 years this summer. She'll tell you, I've changed for the better. Praise the Lord. Can I tell you this? She's changed for the better too. Praise the Lord. It's good. God's will is good. If we really believe that, we will be committed to it. Whatever he wants, however he wants to change, mold, build, whatever he wants to do in my life, I'm committed to him and his will. Do I believe it's good? Do you really believe God's will is good? I'm thankful for this passage because there's no evil in God's will. None. It's acceptable. It's well-pleasing. I can please the Lord. Some of us grew up with parents that your dad or mom or somebody, you just seemed like you could never please. You know what it does? It creates in you an idea of, well, I just give up trying. You heard about the husband that was that way, didn't you? He'd come down for breakfast one morning and the wife had 2 poached eggs on his plate. He looked at him and said, I didn't want poached this morning. I wanted scrambled. Next morning comes down, there's 2 scrambled eggs on his plate. Says, I didn't want scrambled this morning, I wanted poached. Next morning, comes down, there's 1 poached and 1 scrambled. going to fix him. He looks at it and says, you poached the wrong one. There's just some people you can't please. But if you walk with God and do His will, you'll please Him. You can please Him. You cannot just be a person who's already loved by God, but you can actually be pleasing to God. It's acceptable. I love the word perfect. It's complete. His will is complete. It has everything I need. I will never suffer lack as long as I walk in His will. I'll always have what I need to do His will with. So why do I worry? Take no thought for tomorrow. Why would I worry? If the Lord will, I will do this. If the Lord doesn't want it, I won't do it. If the Lord wants this, we'll do that. It's in God's hands. Whose hands is it better off in? Mine or His? His. It's the Lord's will I'm concerned. It's the Lord's will we want. We know it's good. So why aren't we committed to it? Why aren't we people who would say, whatever you want, God, that's what I want. I'm willing to be whatever you want. I'm willing to do whatever you want, any moment of my life, any day of my life. I'm willing to suffer if that's what you want. I'm willing to go through hard things if that's what you want. I'm willing to be poor all my life if that's what you want. I am willing to do whatever you want, God, for your glory. Committed to that. I'm willing to do whatever. People say that's easy when everything's going your way. What happens when God says, I want one of your sons? What do you do? No, God, I'm not giving him away. No, we gave them to the Lord when they were born. We committed them into His hands the minute they were born. And if God wants to do that, that's up to Him. His will's still good. He has a bigger purpose in mind than anything I can ever imagine. He has something He's doing in light of eternity, and He's putting this plan together and all these things, and I look at one little spot. Am I willing to give my own life for God? Give up my own drives and desires that I would want for myself for my God? Am I willing to do anything He wants? You see, that commitment to His will is so important. It means absolute surrender. It means dependence on Him in everything. And if I depend on Him, that means I'm praying. That means I'm in this intimate personal relationship with Him. And I'm maintaining that relationship. I guard against sin, anything that would destroy or harm me from walking in His will, from experiencing Him in every moment of every day of my life. I want what you want, God. Chris, when he first found out how bad his situation was, he wrote, and we shared it in some of our prayer letters and some writings, and he wrote, I think I now understand just a little bit of what Jesus said in the garden. I would if I could have this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And then he included something that I was surprised at. Pleased, but surprised. He said, for your will is always good. Do you believe it? Are you committed to it? Are you willing to give him everything? I like that challenge because I see a challenge over in Luke chapter 1. And if you want to take your Bible and turn there, a challenge to a man who is being confronted by an angel. But look at the characteristics of this man. Luke chapter 1. It's Zacharias. His wife's name was Elizabeth. Now you remember Zacharias and Elizabeth. Elizabeth and Zacharias are the parents of John the Baptist. Now look at the character of these two people in verse 6 of chapter 1 of Luke. And they were both righteous before God. Here's the characteristic of their life. And walking in all the commandments of the Lord and ordinances of the Lord. How were they? What's it say?
Blameless.
Wow. They had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. They were both well now stricken in years. It came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom in verse 9 of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And then he lists a whole bunch of characteristics of John. It's an interesting thing that he tells him about John. I love those characteristics. It's a great study in itself. Verse 18, he says, And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. How am I going to see this? How's this going to work? What's really going to happen here? This man is righteous. This man is blameless before God. But he's confronted with something that is outside his realm, something that is outside his thinking, something that is beyond where he has been. And he's told that he's going to have a child at an old age, and he doesn't understand it. And he says, How's this going to happen? I can't believe this. Rather than simply saying, Thy will be done, God. He questions. And the angel answering said unto him, in verse 19, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these things. But look what he says about him in verse 20. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. You didn't believe. Your lack of faith. You said, no, this can't happen. I don't see it. I'm reminded of what I said something in Sunday school or in church this morning about we're to walk by means of the Spirit. And we walk by means of the Spirit. We walk by faith. And we walk not by sight. But I hear Christians over and over and over again with this kind of a statement. I don't see it. Why do we have to? Why do we have to? Do we have faith to believe our God and walk by faith rather than by sight? Zacharias didn't see it. Here's a man that is righteous and blameless before the Lord. That hit me like a ton of bricks, right smack between the eyes. Do I really believe God? am I really committed? Or do I have limits on my commitment? Have I said it's okay here, here, and here, but not there? Don't ask me to give up this. Don't lead me to do that. I'll never forget, our son Chris went to Africa when he was 19 for a summer. He spent a year at Northland, and that year he met the Bells, Steve and Ruthie Bell, and ended up going over there and helping them build a church. Spoke many times while he was there. But I remember when he asked his mom and I, what do you think? Well, I know I was excited for him in some ways, but I was a little concerned. Here he's going all the way to Africa, and we're not going to be there. And of course, his mom was thinking about snakes and all that stuff, and so am I, which came to be a reality. They had a snake just inside the hut they were staying in as a puff adder, and their dog wouldn't let them in. And they come to find out why is because of that snake. But God confronted us. Did you trust me with your son or not? Yeah. Whatever your will is, Lord. We came to the point where we had to say goodbye to him on this earth. Do you trust me with your son? Yeah. Don't ask that, Lord. I don't want to give him to you. Please don't take my son. And I remember praying that. But I came to the same conclusion Chris did. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I am willing to do and go through whatever you want, Lord. And you have a purpose in this that's bigger than anything I can ever imagine. I am going to simply rest in you and let you work. My greatest goal every day is just to simply get up. Janine laughs because she's heard that so many times, and she knows it's true, isn't it, dear? Why? If I get up, that means the Lord has something for me today. And my desire then is you and me, God, let's go. You and me, God, let's go. Whatever it is you want. However you want to lead, whatever you want to do, I'm yours because I'm committed to you and your will. Whatever it looks like, even if I don't like it, and there's things I don't like. I was called to go to a church that was on the verge of a split. I didn't like that. I remember driving down the road, and they asked me to come and help. And as I came and was headed down the road, Lord, I don't want to go because I know I'm going to get hurt and everybody's going to be hurt in this. You cannot go through something like that without being hurt. I went to one church that was dealing with something and they wanted me to come in and preach and share some meetings, and I did. Everything I said was against one side or the other, and they were all mad at me. They were united now. I don't want to go. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. If you get me up in the morning, and if he gets us up tomorrow, then you and me, God, let's go, whatever it is. Could be easy, could be a great day. I hope and pray it is. It could be hard. I don't know. But I know God, and his will is good. Even if I have to suffer, it'll still be good. And you may be going through some sufferings. You may be going through some hard things. But God's will is still good, and he'll lead you through it. He'll be there with you every step of the way. I'll never leave you nor forsake. He's talked over and over again that our stability and security comes from him and this relationship, not from the circumstances in this life. It comes from him. He'll take care of us. Through it all. Through it all. Zacharias, are you committed to the will of God? Yeah, I am. Matter of fact, he's righteous and blameless. But he's asked to do something beyond what he had thought of, beyond something that he thought was even possible. Are you willing to do that? How's this going to work? What about this? What about that? I can see three reasons why it won't work already. Or are we simply able to say, God, whatever you want, whatever you want to do with me and through me, to you be the glory, to you be the praise. It's your will. I'll do it. I'm committed to you and your will. You'll never go there if you don't think it's good. If you don't think his will's good. And that is true. It is good because it comes from God. He's good. He's good. You know it has a purpose. Jesus endured the suffering on the cross because of the joy that was set before him, despising the shame. It's what Scripture says in Hebrews 12. Gave us a great example. There's things you and I don't like. But you know what? I'll go through it because there's a joy at the end. I'm content with just that simple phrase from 1 Thessalonians 4. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's all I need. That's all I need. Praise the Lord. It's all I need. Are you committed to his will? Do you believe it's good? Are you ready if he calls you to do something special and different and out of the ordinary? Well, we ought to be willing to do anything. He may never do that for you. He may want you to do what you're doing the rest of your life on this earth. I don't know what he's going to do, but I know God. His will's good. You'll never go wrong by following with your whole being. You'll never go wrong because you will walk worthy of him unto all pleasing. You and I can please God by simply walking in his will every moment of every day. I do not have goals in my life. I have desires, things I'd love to say. I'd love to have a new truck someday. But now hearing 400 what? How many thousand? 450,000, I may have my truck for a while. It's okay. I'm up to 202. You know what? It's according to what he wants. He'll work it out. Whatever he wants. I just want to be in the center of his will. And in 5 years, if we're still on this earth, dear, I hope that God keeps us right in the center of his will, and that's our heart's desire still. That's what we want. Whatever it looks like. Never said it was easy. He stretches us. But I'd never want to be anywhere else than in the center of his will, whatever it looks like. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Lord, it's so easy to love you. It's so easy because we understand who you are. Because of how you work in our hearts and our lives. That closeness and intimacy of relationship. The privilege it is simply to be yours. Thank you, God. I praise your name. Thank you. And Lord, I know you're with me. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. And Lord, you know what we've gone through.